Now, if you want to follow along our handouts online, CCB, and it'll be online, the notes, but you can study. We're going to be talking today about honor in relationships. Everybody say honor in relationships. All right, honor in relationships. So in our series, Righteousness in Relationships, we're going to today emphasize honor, the importance of honor. And, of course, in our opening scripture, Luke 2, 40, Luke and 52, the Bible says that, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, talking about Jesus, our Lord, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And we see as a teenager in verse 52, the same chapter, Luke 2, 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So Jesus grew in three major components. He grew in wisdom, faith, and friendships or relationships. So everybody say that with me. Everybody say wisdom, faith, and relationships. So we see God, Jesus had favor with God and with man. So his relationship with God was good, but also his relationship with mankind was good. So Jesus grew both spiritually and relationally. So in our lives individually and raising our children, grandchildren, we should emphasize Jesus grew the best way a person could grow. So there should be spiritual growth and also relational growth. Amen. Wisdom, faith, and friendships or relationships. We said relationships are vital to man's ultimate achievement in life. God knows what is most needful for man, and he said in Genesis 2:18, it is not good for man to be alone. Alone there is a word, is a phrase that symbolizes a man's hand being cut off. So that, in other words, it's not good to be cut off from other people. That's what alone means. You can't be alone. And God has not called loneliness or being alone good. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10, the Bible says two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. So contact and interaction between people is relationship. To relate means to be in touch, to contact, to be involved with one another. So one must be selective in the relationship one contracts. A wrong relationship, we said, is detrimental to progress and success in life. 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells us, don't be fooled by those who say such things. Say what things? You know, what we're getting ready to talk about. He's getting ready to mention it. For bad company corrupts good character. You hang around bad people, evil people, they're going to corrupt you. They're going to infect you. They're not going to help you get better. Amen. So the choice of your company is your responsibility. Everybody say the choice of the company I keep. The friends that I make is my responsibility. Now look at someone else next to you. Look at them, smile real good. Look at them right in the face and say, the choice of the company you keep is your responsibility. So no relationship takes place without agreement between the parties involved. Amos 3:3 tells us, can two walk together except they be agreed? So unless you agree to hang around them, you don't hang around them. If you're hanging around them, you haven't agreed to hang around them. Hallelujah. If you hang around dope pushers and dope users, smoking weed, smoking pot, you know, usually, you know, teenagers get caught in that situation. I did when I was young. I was, you know, high school, had to choose friends. And good thing I had some decent teaching. And so people that I really liked coming out of middle school, going into high school, they started smoking weed, getting high. on the basketball court. So I had to choose. I had to stay away from those folks. Because if I choose that route, I'm gonna go down a bad road. And every single one of them struggled after high school with jobs and with staying out of jail. Absolutely the truth. Even the guys on the football team. One of our captains, you know, quarterback, captain, kicker, got a scholarship to LSU. But he started doing weed. Couldn't stay off the weed. Couldn't stay off the drug. Then he started using crack. Lost his scholarship, four-year scholarship to LSU, Division I college. Lost his four-year scholarship, lost his way. I mean, his dad was the principal of the high school. But he started hanging around the wrong people. He started hanging around people that are doing drugs and doing dope. Are you listening to me? The mentality of the independent is dangerous as well. It leads you down the path of destruction. So if you think, well, I'm just not going to hang around anybody. I'm going to do it all by myself. Well, Proverbs 18:1 says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire and rages against all wise judgment. In other words, to think that you can do better all by yourself is wrong thinking. You need people. Some people say, well, I'm leaving. I'm out. I'm done. And I'm walking out. I'm going to do everything by myself. I don't need nobody. Well, you do, because if you get in a taxi car, you need the taxi driver. If you go to a hotel, you need the people at the hotel working to let you in the hotel room. Come on now. If you go to a gas station, even to fill up your car, you need the people operating the gas station to turn on the pumps and make sure the pumps are working. You need people. So everybody say, I need somebody. So to isolate yourself is to celebrate selfishness. And to celebrate selfishness is to say, I'm eliminating God from the equation of my life. You're basically saying, God, I don't need nobody. I don't want to be around nobody. I'm going to be by myself. You got to watch that spirit that comes upon you that wants to be protractively lone, operating as a loner or a recluse for protracted periods of the day. Now, it's okay to be melancholy sometimes and to reflect and have your what we call quiet time. But you shouldn't be alone and think that I'm just going to be just me and God, me and Jesus. That's all I need, me and Jesus. No, you need somebody. Everybody said we need somebody. Isolation provides a false sense of security. It creates an atmosphere of relational irresponsibility. Now, sometimes people don't think that relationships are all that stuff, gooey, 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 I don't need that. Well, you know, again, how do you get to heaven? By what you know or who you know? Mm-mm. Come on, church. Come on, saints. You get to heaven by who you know. Jesus showed us in the Gospels. He told those people on this, he said, depart from me, for I don't know you. It's relationship. It's your relationships. You can put a hashtag on it. Relationships matter. In other words, your relationship with God determines whose family you're in. You're in the family of God or you're the family of the devil. It's not what you know, it's who you know. If you know Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior, then you're good to go. But if you don't know him as your Lord and personal Savior, if he's not your master, owner, ruler, then you're in a bad situation. Because you can know the Bible from cover to cover. You can quote all 66 books of the Bible, Genesis to Revelations. Like once somebody said, Genesis to Revolutions. Hallelujah. So isolation provides a false sense of security. It creates an atmosphere of relational irresponsibility. Humanity was never built for the independent, but for the what? Interdependent. We need each other. Now, we said before, right relationships are supposed to result in progress. You're supposed to be progressing because the right people are around you. You are digressing when the wrong people are around you. Digression is simple. You're going backwards instead of forward. Progression is simple. You're going forward, not backwards. Everybody in this room should be going forward. And if you're not, then you got to look at and examine your five closest people around you. Because you're the average, you're the sum of the five closest people around you. You make an average of the five closest people around you. And like we said before, that bishop told that man, he said, I got nine friends, they all broke. And he told them, guess who's number 10? Hallelujah. This is the acid test for the right choices. None of the party involves in a wrong relationship profit in any way. Negative influences have a greater power of pulling people down and darkening great futures. Negative influences darken great futures. Proverbs 13:20 tells us, walk with the wise and become what? Wise. Associate with fools and do what? Get in trouble. And for all the young folks in here, kids that don't want to go to school, don't want to go to class, you need to run away from them. I had to make a choice. I love playing basketball with these guys. But I had to whittle it down to two people in high school. It was bad. It was, I don't know, survival of the fittest in my high school. Because, you know, you grow up in the projects, grow up in the hood side of town, as we would call it, and you got to distinguish and have wisdom to determine who am I going to hang around, because hanging with these people ain't going to get me anywhere. Amen. And every single one of them didn't finish or got in jail. Then it was war. There was attrition then, because only two of us went to college, and one made it through. You look at that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Those closest to you determine the outcome of your life. Those closest to you determine the outcome of your life. In other words, the single most important factor defining your future is the relationships you embrace. Now, you might have social media connection with people, but you don't need to be connected with so many people. Because if you don't know them, if you haven't qualified them to be your friend, then don't fall in friendships like people fall in love. Are you listening to me? Your life is built by relationships. Turn to someone next to you and say, your life and my life is built by relationships. So you'll receive both the consequences and the rewards of those that are closest to you. Whether you recognize it or not, every relationship you have is taking you somewhere. So sometimes, I'm not saying get in their face and get on their case and look at them and say, where you taking me? Now, I'm not talking about that. But sometimes you need to understand, where are people taking you? Because you will receive the rewards or the consequences of those closely associated with you. Amen? It's better to be even independent or by yourself for a minute until you get the right people around you than to hang around with the wrong people. We all need to build a life team of faith friends, people who believe in, you believe in, but also people who believe in you based on the course of scriptural principle, protocol, and practice. That they mean they believe in you, not just what you do for them. Amen? Proverbs 12:26 says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. And so we said there's three types of people that come in and out of your life. Number one is compromisers, people who are always trying to take you backwards. They want to take you back to where you came from. Remember back when you win. Remember when you were a knucklehead back then, back in the day. No, don't remember when we stole from that candy store. You remember when we smoked weed around that corner and we didn't tell your mama. You know, no, don't do all that. Those are compromisers. They continue to remind you of yesterday. Then there's companions, people you walk with. But you don't know them enough to, so there's a level of uncertainty about where that person is going to take you at first. You're qualifying them. Amen. And then there's the committed. Everybody say committed. So committed people care about you just as much as you do about yourself. It frees you up to care about them. And we talked about love. Love is not only a choice, it's not only caring. Love is a commitment. I'm talking about genuine, the agape, the love of God. The love of God says, I'm committed to you for the rest of your life. Amen. I'm committed to do you good. I'm committed to meet your needs. Amen. Amen. It's the committed who enable people to you to build life with, to build a business with, to build success and be and have satisfaction and joy with. It's the committed people. Everybody say the committed people. And we also need to understand, as we said, the devil's most effective form of distraction is poor relationships. And we said distractions are the destruction of your dream in slow motion. So the most effective form of distraction the devil can bring is, hey, baby.
Hey, sweetie.
Hallelujah. Everybody say poor relationships. So the enemy of your soul will actually twist and distort the holy concepts of mercy and love in order to get you to commit yourself to someone who has been sent by him to distract, to divide, and to destroy you. A lot of times we call them unwitting people. The devil will use unwitting people who sent to take your focus away, to break your focus, to divide you off from what you're supposed to be doing to what you're not supposed to be doing, or to destroy you, because they're a wolf in sheep's clothing. Are you listening to me? So healthy, godly, supernatural relationships are a must in an area we must grow in. Amen. So there has to be prerequisite to relationships. We must never fall into relationships like people fall in love, because that could be a tragedy. So let's talk about honor for a minute, this aspect of honor. The scripture is on the screen. You can see it. 1 Samuel 2:30. Therefore the Lord of Israel, God of Israel says, I have indeed that your house and the house of your father will walk before me forever. But now, says the Lord, far be it from me, for those who honor me, notice that phrase, I will honor. And those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. This is the underscore, the underlying phrase of the honor principles of God. If you honor me, in other words, what I say to honor, who I am and what I represent through other people, you I will honor. Amen? Proverbs 3:35 says, the wise inherit honor, but fools are put to shame. What is honor? It's the Hebrew word kabod, literally gives us a picture of heaviness or weightiness in the Old Testament Hebrew. To honor is to give great weight, importance, worth, and significance to something or someone. On the contrary, the word dishonor gives us a picture of something light and trivial, one of mist or steam. When you honor people, you are conveying to them they hold a certain weight in your heart, in your spirit. That means they're valuable. They're important. And so you're communicating to them that they're valuable to you. When you dishonor, you treat someone, you treat the relationship lightly. You suggest, basically, that they're not valuable, nor not significant to you. This can be done in different ways, but many times it's done through your body language and your attitude. You and I communicate 55% of the time with our body language. That's why we even say when we greet somebody, you give a good handshake. The Bible even tells us how to greet. Greet one another with what? A holy kiss. A holy kiss of charity. Amen? Some of us don't even want to shake hands. Don't even want to look people in the eye. Why? Light. Lightweight in the heart. I don't really care about you, so I'm not even going to look at you. I don't really want to be bothered by you. Well, Pastor got us going around greeting everybody anyway. No, we're not saying put twos on everybody's head. If they're everybody in here is a 10. You got to see them as a 10. 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. But when you esteem people lightly, when you dishonor, you say, well, I'm not even going to respect you enough to even look at you or stick my hand out at you or give you a holy kiss or a hug. Well, praise God. Y'all got quiet. Everybody good? Dishonor stems from the heart and eventually reveals itself in one's actions. Remember, man looks on the outward action, but God is looking where? Where's he looking? Everybody say your heart. So do you honor those above you from your heart or just with your words? Now we think above you, domestically, parents, grandparents. The Bible tells us, honor your mother and your father. Your father is his father first and your mother. Honor. It says honor the king. So do you honor those in civil authority, civil responsibility? You got so much hate on the news and media and social media about the president, the governor. That's not honor. That's dishonor. Are you listening to me? And you honor your spiritual leaders. Everybody say honor.
Honor.
So do you value the presence of those leaders with their wisdom, or take some time to think about what you can do to show honor to them? Because again, that would make a difference in your relationship. You have to invest in, listen to this phrase, relational chemistry. To go up, you got to connect up. Some people, things aren't going well with them because they have dishonored their parents so long and for a protracted period of time, then you got situations where that promise is not being fulfilled in your life. You got to honor your mother, your father, and your mother. Whew, glory to God. You got to honor. Some people say, well, stuff is not happening in my life. I'm struggling in this area. Well, did you bless your parents? Did you honor your parents? Did you honor your father and mother? What you did for your daddy lately? Well, my daddy got money. He could take care of himself. No, what'd you do for your daddy? What'd you do for your mama? I'm about to run about now. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Amen. When's the last time you prayed for the president? The governor? The mayor? Come on now. The city council representative. Do you even know his name? Come on, honor. Everybody say honor. When's the last time you were a blessing to your pastor?
Amen.
Prayed for your pastor. Everybody say honor.
Honor.
Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, we must learn how to honor others, especially those above us. Find out what pleases them and become what they need for you to become. Because being honorable is important. Everybody say being honorable, is so important.
So important.
So there's no greater way of honoring a mentor or or bowing the knee, then you bow the knee for the sole purpose of bringing them pleasure. I always tell my boss when we meet one-on-one, and in our every other week, or over the phone, of course, and we have our one-on-one, he said, whatever you need. Well, we built a relationship 8 years now, and plus, almost 9 years, 8 years strong. Whatever you need. I'm your go-to person. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to do what you ask me to do. Don't push back. Don't become a thorn in his side. Don't become someone who bucks up against him. Everybody say honor. So every year I get raises, promotions, increases, blessings.
Amen.
Glory to God. Somebody say glory to God. Honor, honor, honor. Because there are things to honor. Let me give you four things that honor gives us that the scripture, key truths, key areas that the scriptures bring that we can learn and receive from when it comes to honor. First is honor's conditions. Everybody say honor's conditions. Matthew 10, 40 through 42 says, he who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Whoever receives one of these little ones, but only a cup of cold water in the name of disciples, surely I say to you, he shall by no wise, no means lose his reward. So Jesus outlined three facets or three dimensions or three directions of honor that we should embrace relationally. This is what we should embrace relationally. Number one, first, spiritual leaders or pastors or prophets, those over us in the Lord. He talks about receiving him. Isn't he Lord? Jesus is Lord. And so he appointed his fivefold ministry. These are spiritual leaders. So first dimension or facet or direction is those up, those over you in the Lord. Secondly, is spiritual peers, those around you in the Lord. Whoever receives a righteous man will receive a righteous man. That's the brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And then thirdly, is spiritual proteges. Those are disciples that you give a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord, in Jesus' name. You don't receive them as a nuisance. You receive them as a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Children even are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Amen? So God gives you a heritage of children. They're not goofballs, or they are not mistakes. They are gifts from God.
Amen.
Children are gifts from the Lord. Amen. They're a heritage of the Lord. That then I become a responsible person to receive them as gifts that I'm a steward over. Amen? So those under our care in the Lord. Those younger brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen. Because under our care, we should bring them to the Lord, make sure they're solid in faith, learn how to pray, and then, of course, raise them up in the fear and admonition of who? Of the Lord. Amen. Those are proteges in our lives. Secondly is, so we said honor's condition. Secondly is honor's commands. I'm just going to go through scripture. I'm not going to read them. But honor's commands from the scripture is honor the Lord. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and first fruits of all thy increase. Honor your father and your mother. Matthew 15:4, Mark 7:10, Ephesians 6:2. Honor your father and mother. Honor and prefer one another. Romans 12:10. Honor widows. 1 Timothy 5:3. Honor all brethren, 1 Peter 2:17, and honor the king. Honor your spouse, 1 Peter 3:7, and then give double honor to spiritual leaders, 1 Timothy 5:17. You got to realize, friends, that God has an honor system. God has an honor system.
Hallelujah.
In the kingdom of God, in which we are to govern our lives and relationships by. Everybody say honor system.
Honor system.
And so with this system of honor, there's honor's rewards that come with it. rewards for honor. Honor is a big deal. He commands us to honor. The Lord articulates the way of honor and conveys, is to be conveyed and not conveyed. So let's look at the third aspect of honor, which is honor's conveyance. You have three different ways you can convey honor. Number one, you can give honor. Number two, you can withhold honor. Number three, you can dishonor. The choice is yours. You can give it, you can withhold it, or you can dishonor. Amen? So in addition, there are rewards to honor. Within this honor system, there are rewards. And that's, for example, God gives us honor opportunities. For example, honor the king. So when there is a spiritual or natural opportunity to convey and give honor due to a civil government leader, what do? You have a choice. Give honor? Withhold honor? Dishonor. Now he tells us in Romans 13, I'm going to read verse 7. I'm just going to read verse 7, John. Thank you. Render to all them their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom what? Honor. Honor to whom honor. So I'm supposed to, they're due honor for everybody I'm dealing with, those over me, those around me, and those under me. Somebody say glory to God. And so number four is honor's compensation. What is the compensation? What is the reward for honor? Number one, you get a full reward when you give honor in the manner and the way of the God the honor, that honors God. He tells you how to honor those over you in the Lord. He tells you how to honor those peers and brethren in the Lord. The Bible tells you how to honor the king. The Bible tells you how to honor your wife, honor your husband, honor your father and mother. Everybody say honor.
Honor.
And then number two is a partial or little reward when you withhold honor. So let's just say there was due honor to your father or due honor to your mother. Little simple stuff like, I'm not trying to make anybody mad or angry. Little simple stuff like their birthday. You wait till the last minute, all end of the day. I say that because I did it, and the Lord got on me. My mom didn't get on me; the Lord did. You the last one, and I thought she was just messing with me, but then the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. He said, "You know," he said, "you know, you still have to honor your mother, father and mother." He said, "Why you wait till the last end of the day to call her?" Now that's me. I'm not saying anybody else. Are you listening to me? Because I was withholding honor all day. Didn't do it intentionally, but I just didn't make it a priority. Are you listening to me? Honor. Everybody say honor.
Honor,
honor. Honor. And then number three, compensation, is no reward. Now everybody say that's not good. So that's when you dishonor. Instead of just withholding, you did the opposite of honor, which is dishonor. 2 John 8, verse 8 said, look to yourselves that we do not lose those things which we work for. What should we be working for? Good relationships above us, around us, and underneath us. People under our care, you should be working on relationships in 360 degrees. Your boss, everybody in this room who works a job should have a good report from their boss. They shouldn't be able to talk about, they never come in dressed right. They never shave. They never looked the part. They're always out of uniform. They're always late. This shouldn't be like nobody in the church like this. Now, if you do, I'll love tap you. Hallelujah. We'll get you in shape. Praise God. Amen. Everybody in here should be a good, awesome employee. Are you listening to me? They should be saying, you're the next one up. You're the next person up. We're going to give you the extra responsibility because you are good to go.
Amen.
Amen. That's honor, showing your honor to your boss, being a blessing to him. Somebody say glory to God. He said, look for the things, those things we work for, but that you may receive what kind of reward? Full reward. How do you get a full reward, saints? Everybody say, give honor.
Give honor.
Amen. How do you get a full reward, saints?
Give honor.
When honor's due, you render it. You don't cash a check that gonna bounce. You give honor because honor's due. Amen? Now let's narrow it down as we close with this section about relationships. Everybody good?
Yes.
Everybody say
glory to God.
Give me three hallelujahs.
Hallelujah.
Let's do this. Let's just stand. Everybody stand. Slap high fives with two people. Slap high fives with two people. Stand. See, I say stand, and people still sitting down. Hallelujah. Get the blood flowing. Come on now. Wake up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, you can sit back down. Praise God. You know, back in the day, they used to, they say, you know, it's disrespectful when somebody go to sleep in church.
That's right.
Amen. When the speakers were on sleep, and you look like you're going off in the woods somewhere, just drifting. They said, be respectful enough to stand up.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And then Fred Price came along and said, you know, he came in, he's pretty hardcore. And so he said, if Brother Hagin preach an hour and a half, you need to sit still for an hour and a half. Because the prophet of God be flowing in that anointing to a point to where you don't want to be irreverent. That just means disrespectful to the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And people falling asleep or getting up, running, doing a track meet to the bathroom. Take care of your business before you get them in the, amen. You got praise and worship and all the other times to go walk. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Sometimes we just need to tighten up on these areas a little bit. Glory, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because sometimes we get in trouble because we fail to honor relationships that God brings in our lives. Told y'all about the time that we were in school. This is Bible school. And then we didn't recognize and fail to honor the relationship that Brother Hagin had. He's founded the school. He's a prophet of God. He's a teacher. Coming into class, everybody joking around, messing around. You know, checking their phone, doing all kinds of stuff they shouldn't be doing instead of focusing on them. And so he got, opened his book up, then he closed his book and turned around and walked off. Sometimes, let me tell you this again, sometimes we get in trouble because we fail to honor the relationships God brings in our lives. Amen. Even at home, even at work, even in church. Amen. There's things we won't be able to receive revelation-wise, nutrition-wise, without honoring our supernatural relationships. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, he tells us, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. Why? Because there's a place and a part for everybody to take in Christ. And if you don't take your place, then the body won't function right. Because you're out of place, and we said that if you're out of your place, you're out of your grace, and then you fall on your face. Amen? But it's essential to appropriately honor those over you in the Lord. Whether by appointment, through a job, or anointing through church and ministry. Praise God. Because the love walk and the honor walk always breed peace. Everybody say that with me.
The love walk.
And the honor walk always breed peace. So what is your posture with supernatural life? For those are over you and around you in the Lord, are you a, and we talked about last week, I was going to talk about today, but I am going to talk about it. Are you a protege or a prodigal? Because we're talking about honoring relationships. Turn around and ask someone that question. Are you a protege? Or are you a prodigal? We must never forget that access to great relationships can only be granted the moment someone chooses to bring pleasure to those who are important in their life. We often said this phrase, theology, so to speak, if you don't use it or you abuse it, then you end up losing it. If you don't use it or you abuse it, you end up losing it. I'm talking about those important relationships, those people that can pull you up and impart into your life. Sometimes we fail to even value the people that have been brought into our lives. Because we either we neglect, don't use it, or we abuse. Amen. We know the scriptures in 1 Timothy 5:17 through 18. I'm just going to read the New Living Translation. Elders who do their work well should be represented, respected, and paid well. Should be respected and paid well, right? Especially those who work hard, both preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you must not muzzle the ox that keeps from eating and it treads out the grain. In another place, those who work deserve their pay. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13. And we urge you, brethren, and recognize them who labor among you and those over you in the Lord and admonish you. Verse 13. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Now, Dr. Mark T. Barkley, he's a pastor up in Michigan, Midland, Michigan, and he's a kind of apostle of God, too, but he said, there's never been a church split, a church fight, where everyone honored their pastors and walked in love toward them. Why? Because the love walk and the honor walk breed peace. Now, think about your house. What's going to breed peace in your house? The love walk. And the honor walk. Yeah, everybody said, well, I know I walk in love. But do you walk in honor? Do you walk in honor? Amen? So esteem here in this verse, Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13, esteem doesn't mean exalt. You don't exalt a man. You exalt Jesus. Amen. But he tells us to esteem. And honor. We esteem and honor our leadership. Esteem is very high, us very high in love because what? Jesus made them your pastor. I'm not a sheep without a shepherd. Praise God. Amen? Amen. Or I'm one without a boss. Perhaps you got a bad boss or even a good boss. You appreciate and thank God for the fact that I have a job and I have a boss. Amen. That I can honor. That I can respect. Somebody said, glory to God. I shouldn't talk about them. Amen. Amen. I should treat them with respect. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Everybody say, glory to God. Peace leaves when esteem leaves. What does that mean? Peace within the relationship. Things get weird between us when esteem leaves. Things get wacky at the house when the children don't esteem their parents. And then peace goes out, chaos, and disorder comes in. How many of y'all believe that? Hallelujah. So these are 10 qualities to make sure that you're pleasing to everybody you serve and support. I want to remind you that every relationship feeds either a strength or weakness within the person. So depending on your strength and weakness of individual's character, if you posture yourself in two distinct ways, either when you're pursuing a relationship with the great or either be a prodigal or a protege, you must keep your right posture as a protege. Now, what is a prodigal? It's a bad side. We all know about the prodigal son. A prodigal is a person who is in a relationship only to take. It's what's in it for me. I'm here to get mine. I'm going to use you for my advantage. You know, on a dating scenario, you know, a brother walks up and says, baby, I love you. You know I love you. But all he wants is what? Sex. Mm-hmm. I'm there to take from her. I'm there to take her virtue, her virginity. Is this okay? Y'all okay? Baby, you know I love you. He gets dutied up there. Amen. Well, praise God. We can go down that road, but I don't have time. Prodigals are unwilling and unable to contribute to life, contribute life to the relationship. But rather, they are what we might call relational vampires. They suck the life out of the relationship. You see them coming. You put your arms around your neck, you know they're gonna use me or abuse me. Hallelujah. And so these are prodigals don't add value to relationship, but they leave the bitter aroma of pain and brokenness. So there's 10 attributes I want to kind of you just listen to and just receive these and let them process through you by the Holy Spirit. You can write them down if you want. Number one, a prodigal wants you to have, but is willing to pay, wants what you have, excuse me, but is unwilling to pay the same price you paid to obtain it. In other words, they're trying to get a shortcut. You didn't arrive. Come on now. You got your house, car, you got your life going in the right direction by the faith and grace of God and the help of God. Amen. And they want to come and cling on your coattail because they want what you got. Number two, a prodigal is interested only what you will do for his influence or her influence and their reputation. What can you do to help me? They never show up and say, I'm here to help you. That's even so paramount in the church context because people want to come help, but then the key is, do you want to help yourself or do you want to help me? Amen? Because the person who just wants to help themselves only want to do what they like doing. Now, when I was in six other churches under six other pastors, the Lord, the Holy Spirit taught me this. He said, don't be a prodigal. Don't be in there just doing what you like and what you want. You do what he wants, the man and woman of God. And so how may I serve you? My pleasure. I need someone to come in clean on Thursday. My pleasure. Are you listening to me? Because some people want to help themselves. Because it's improving their career resume or their career itself is ambition. But you help someone else, that means I believe in you and I'm here for you to help you. Well, praise the Lord. Y'all still good?
Yeah.
Number three, a prodigal is there only solely to get. Number four, prodigal wants you to continue to recognize and praise him for his achievements, but is not merely not interested in celebrating yours. Look at what I've done. Look at what I did. Look at what I did. A prodigal believes that you're in his life or her life to meet their needs, but they're not there to meet yours. Number six, a prodigal is in your life looking for credibility rather than correction and instruction. We learned from Pastor Keith Moore, you know, when he showed up, he was working for Brother Kenneth Hagin for ministry for 20 years. Part of it was volunteer time. A lot of it was volunteer for 10 years. He volunteered, working 40 hours a week as a volunteer. Then they finally hired him. And God told him, the Lord told him and his wife, you're here to help, you're here to learn, you're not here to judge. Everybody say it with me. I'm here to help. I'm here to learn. I'm not here to judge. Amen. And so that means you have to be submitted to correction and instruction. Praise God. That means somebody tells you what to do. And so you tell them what you're going to do. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Number seven, a prodigal will embrace your enemies but still want to be your friend. So in other words, they play both sides against the middle. They smile in your face, although I won't take your place. The backstabbers. Backstabbers. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number eight, the prodigal only use knowledge to manipulate and use you. They throw out sound bites instead of have a solid conversation. They're trying to manipulate and steer the conversation. Some people get real good at it. And then number nine, a prodigal will leave the moment he has received from you what he believes he needs. Once I get what I need, I'm mounting. Talk to Nan, deuces. All right. Number 10, a prodigal will get angry with you for attempting to correct him or her. People don't realize who are prodigals, correction is good. Correction yields protection, direction, and perfection. Everybody say correction is good. So the Bible even says, whom the Lord loves, he corrects. So if the Lord don't correct you, you're not his. Or you haven't chosen to be his. We often say, we love you enough to correct you. Amen. Somebody say, glory to God. So you listen with your eyes and watch out for these types of people who are prodigals. On the contrary, protege is a son who's looking for to sow in the life of the one who he's called to lead him. So they're looking at sowing up, supporting up, serving up. Proteges understand that no seed can ever produce a harvest unless it dies and it's planted in the ground, good ground. So how we had to do it several times, we had to lay down our vision and take up the vision of the pastors and the house. We didn't want to be a cause for division. More than one vision is two vision. Division is division. Amen. Amen. It's because we must choose to lay out our own life in service to the esteemed man or woman of God. Amen. A mentor or a father in the Lord doesn't need to know what you know, regardless of how much you know. Jesus said it this way, John 13:16, most assuredly I say unto you, a servant is no greater than his master, and nor is he sent greater than he who sent him. A prodigal wants his mentor to pursue him. Some people want, well, you got to call and chase after me. No. That's not the way it goes. A protege makes it his aim to pursue his mentor. Amen. So we made it our aim, Pastor Cynthia and I, with the Hankins. We go out to the meetings. We sow in the meetings. We sit in the meetings. We sacrifice time. We go, why? Because he's got something for us. But we're there primarily to serve him and her, to support him and her. Somebody say glory to God. And we were at a convention this last week and with churches and the guest speaker said, you know, those people that he talked about relationships. I was like, yes. I said, we talked about this Sunday, last Sunday. He was saying some of the same things, but from a corporate standpoint. But he was saying that the people he needed to connect with, because he was saying, how come my business, he had an internet magician business. And so he had an internet magician's business, and for 5 years he was stuck there, not low-level stuff. And the guy said, he was trying to get a hold or go to lunch with one of the great famous guys, And he said, I had to call him and pursue him 10 different times to get a meeting with him. And the last time we set up a call, a meeting, the 10th time I called him, we set up a meeting for lunch. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to get unstuck. I got some good stuff going on, good ideas, but I'm stuck right here. 5 years, I've not been able to get up above this level. And he said, who are you hanging around? And he mentioned five people that he was hanging around. He said, well, you need to get rid of all them. Because you'll never go above where they are because you're hanging around with them. So he had to fire his friends. Somebody said, glory to God. Again, a protege makes it his aim to pursue his mentors. You got to ask yourself, who are you chasing after? Who are you going after? Who is bringing you up to the next level? Who do you allow to speak into your life? Who's your covering? Who do you call Father? Amen. Now, 2 Kings 2:2 says this. Elijah said to Elijah, stay here. The Lord has told me to go to Bethel. But Elijah replied, as sure as the Lord lives and you live, I will never leave you. So they went down together to Bethel. The reward of any relationship is determined by the value you place on it. If you're going to stay there because that's so important, they are my pastor. They are my prophet. They are my man or woman of God. Amen. You say like Elijah says, as long as I live, and the Lord lives, I will never leave you. Because relationships should not be casual. They should be based on covenant. The death do us part. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Somebody say glory to God. Glory to God. Now I'm going to close with these couple of thoughts. And I don't want you to forget this. The responsibility of the relationship lies on the person pursuing rather than the person being pursued. One wise pastor friend of mine in town, he's been pastoring for over 30-some years, almost 35 years. He said, all my sons in ministry, he said, I never chase after them. I tell him, you got to chase after me. And some of them are pastoring good churches now. They've been pastoring, they've been sent out. So they came and submitted, served, supported, and sold up. And then God sent them out. Somebody said, glory to God. See, respect and honor is magnetic. It will attract people, while disrespect and dishonor will repel them. And the respect you and I show toward other people is a byproduct of your relationship with God. If you're always dissing people, disrespecting people, that just shows your relationship with God is a little jacked up. Because, friends, we got to remember, we don't relate to people through God. We must relate to God through people. So, in other words, how you get along with other people is determined how well you get along with God. Amen. If you're a fuddy-duddy, you act like you belong to the first church of the Frozen Chosen. Come on now, if you got the curmudgeons and got a rotten attitude about people, then that shows I've got a bad situation between me and God. Amen. Honor and respect are required as a part of the underlying foundation of all relationships, regardless of the culture you live in. Honor is the gate through which all godly relationships enter. Everybody say honor. And without a doubt, the concept of honor is the single most important principle for building healthy relationships. Everybody say honor. So when you honor someone, remember, you're placing value on him or her. Honor is making a commitment you will always value and respect that someone. And most people refuse to honor, friends, refuse to esteem, and refuse to sow into the lives of others because they think that somehow this is degrading. But God has a principle of value that whether you know it or not, we must all comply with, or you're going to pay the consequences of. This is a principle of value that must be placed in all your relationships. He's checking you out. He's checking me out. How do you treat my sons and my daughters? How do you treat your brothers and your sisters? How do you treat your mothers and your fathers? Amen. It begins by placing important value in the dignity of the lives of others. Until you recognize people's values and the value of that relationship, you won't be given continual access and enjoyment of that relationship. Amen? And your destiny is birthed the moment you sow yourself into another man or woman's life. Stand to your feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all get something out of that today? Yes. Glory.